Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 13th of June. There was hardly a time when we could move around our society as freely as we do today, although for a while now it can be really difficult to travel. But if these temporary constraints are high, the binding social standards, they diminish and fall. I'm not saying that the equality mentioned in our national motto has become the rule today. I say that now one has the impression that the relationship between the social classes is more strained than it has been, even though there have been struggles for a long time. In the more or less distant past, several generations of the same family lived in the same house. Today it seems almost unimaginable. Our society allows us to live our lives independently of each other as long as we have a job and enough money. We are more mobile than ever before. Yet just a few decades ago, we used to go on foot to do errands at the grocery store, whereas now we can order our groceries online and pick them up in a drive-in. In fact, we are making more and more purchases from home on a PC, and we choose the seller who delivers to us in one day. The merchant who does not have a website is often penalised by our way of life. Another thing, we travel with a smartphone. We watch the news and movies when and where we want, and everything is served to us not on a plate, but on a tablet, when we want it. We don't even have to go to church on Sunday mornings to listen to the pastor preach. We have the best sermons available to us online, and we can listen to them whenever we want. Of course, we also choose the subject of the preaching that we want to hear. Many Christians would probably say that one can very well be a Christian without a church. Spiritual food, after all, can be called upon whenever we feel the need for it. In this regard, I heard last Thursday from a person who listened to, I believe, a dozen sermons on the internet on Sunday. Where is Christian fellowship in this system? I also heard of a Christian woman who came to clean her church in Paris. Her pastor met her in the churchyard and talked with her. He didn't know her, it seemed. He told her so, and she replied, "I have been there for 2 years. In fact, this person lived in Lille. She watched the services of this church every Sunday for 2 years and felt like part of that church there in Paris. But she was only present in the courtyard of the church because she had an exceptional reason to come to Paris. So she took the opportunity to be of service. She had the impression of being part of the community, but I believe that it was completely illusory if we consider that the community only exists in sharing, in exchange, in human relationship. In other words, to be together. We can acquire excellent theological knowledge because we always hear the best sermons, but we would still wither internally if we were not in a relationship. Faith is to be lived, and fellowship with other Christians plays an important role in this. I have nothing against all these techniques that are available to us today, of course. Of course, I use them. Before we had a live broadcast of the worship here, we were already benefiting from the progress of technology. I also find it very practical to project songs to avoid bringing here maybe 4 songbooks and putting them down. Putting them down where? Under my chair, of course, except they slide over each other into the back row. No problem for me then. Bible verses may be different, but we can do one thing and not give up on the other. What is most important is to live fraternal communion in contact with others, to share in flesh and blood moments of adoration and moments of study of the Word of God. When we become Christians and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we are part of the family of God. Paul once said, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The body of believers is not a virtual concept, but living people who have become Christians with whom we share common values. But the estrangement of some from the church is not a 21st century problem. Already in the first century, we read in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Of course, there are many reasons why one might want to avoid a Christian community. Unfortunately, even in a church, things can turn sour and people can be hurt. We did not choose our brothers and sisters on our own. They simply joined because they decided to follow Jesus. It can become very difficult and exhausting to be together, to live together. The New Testament letters gives us insight into the disputes and difficulties of the churches. To the early Christians in Galatia, Paul wrote in chapter 5, verse 15, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." But Paul never advised in such difficult church situations that Christians retreat within their own four walls and let the church be the church. Paul set out to teach Christians about the most important rules of conduct. Habitual behaviour must be abandoned, new ways must be practised. In the letter to the Ephesians, it is particularly a question of the behaviour to adopt towards people who are particularly close to us, spouses, children, employees, etc. And all this speaks to us of mutual respect. But Paul limited himself to very few basic instructions so that we at least remember something. Too much information, they say, kills the information. I now read to you just one verse by which Paul gives us the basic concept for relationships of any kind. "Because you have the fear of Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Which brings us this morning to talk about respect as a common Christian value. Firstly, our life together. We probably don't like the verb to submit. And no matter how much you look at the different translations, I don't think you will find any other verb than this in all the languages we might find here. This is, in fact, what is written in the Greek text. Christians must submit to one another. To be honest, it's against our natural tendency. Submitting fosters in us the fear of becoming people who no longer have the right to have their own opinions. But to think that is to misunderstand Paul's thought. Paul is actually saying that Christians should not exercise power over others, sway over others. Christians don't put pressure on others, they don't oppose others. In the kingdom of God and in the church, the rules are just different. Jesus said, as we remembered last week when we broached the theme of humility, "He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Luke chapter 14, verse 11. You remember this story of James and John, two disciples of Jesus who wanted to secure a place of honour in heaven. They asked Jesus this, "Grant us to sit one on your right and the other on your left when you are in glory." Mark 10, verse 37. You understand that this request is inadequate. Yet we make this kind of request ourselves. We like to choose the best seats. To James and John, Jesus replied that it was not for him to decide, but for his Father. Then he explained to them why their request, tinged with the spirit of the world, was unseemly. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their higher officials exercise authority over them." Mark 10, verse 42. This is how people who do not honour God work. But in the kingdom of God, the rules are different. Jesus said to them, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all." Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. Whoever wants to be great must not dominate but serve. The New Testament is absolutely clear on this point. This is also true of the leadership of the church. Peter wrote to church leaders, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Everyone should treat others with respect, regardless of their position. James complained that in the church some were treated better than others. He said, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" James chapter 2, verse 5. James quotes the privileged rich versus the despised poor, but we could expand the verse scope. Those entrusted with an office in the church can rejoice in this responsibility given to them to serve others, but not take pride in and dominate those who have not received the same office. Mutual submission means that we treat each other with the utmost respect and serve each other when we need to and when we can. This means that we do not allow ourselves to be served and that we do not enjoy all the advantages of communion without contributing to communion ourselves. Paul wrote, "Brotherly love, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves." Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Respect, by the way, is an aspect of love. He who loves respects the other, otherwise he does not love. When we treat each other in this way, our community has charisma. A Christian author exposes the anti-Christian arguments to better refute them later. It was in the 3rd century. However, as bad plants are the most fertile and vices are gaining more and more every day, this cursed sect is also increasing every day. This is why it is necessary to work early to root out this abhorrent society. They know each other by certain hidden signs and love each other almost before they know each other. Lust is a part of their religion. They are commonly called brothers and sisters. That's taken from Minucius Felix Octavius, Choice of Primitive Monuments of the Christian Church, Paris, Society of the Pantheon Literary. He who loves respects the others. Secondly, our commitments. I just talked about our life together, but back to our question, why should we submit to each other? Is there an even deeper reason than the need for brotherly love? Yes, there is, because you have the fear of Christ, Ephesians 5, 21. We have to submit to each other because we are in a relationship with Jesus. We are responsible for our behaviour before Jesus. If we show respect to our brothers and sisters, we automatically show respect to Jesus. If we don't, we are disrespecting Jesus. We must live in a way that shows respect to Jesus. Speech is easy, but artfulness is difficult. Paul once said, "Whatever work you do, do it with all your heart, as for the Lord and not for men," Colossians 3, 23. Jesus is good, full of grace for us. He is an example to emulate. He expects from us what he has done himself. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus put himself at the service of others. He didn't look for his own advantage, but wanted to prove his love for us. He surrendered himself by dying on the cross for us. He submitted for us. He opened the door to heaven for us because he loves us. In conclusion, these concepts of submission and fear of Christ run through this chapter 5 of Ephesians. We could certainly combine the two terms into one, respect. Respect for people and respect for Jesus. When I have respect, I say I stay decent and in control. I take the other person seriously. Lack of respect destroys any relationship. On the other hand, respect is the basis of any relationship that will develop in a pleasant way. We can take a cue from nature, not exactly around us, because I am now referring to the giant redwoods of the United States that are anchored less than a metre deep in the ground. How can trees that are 60 to 80 metres tall, that have a diameter of up to 8 metres and probably weigh more than 2,000 tonnes, stand upright with roots that sink so little into the ground? In fact, the roots extend horizontally, a distance, a big distance, from the tree, up to 100 metres. And it is the interconnection of the roots of all the redwoods in the place, because they only grow in groups, which helps them to stay together. And their roots are so strong that redwoods hold each other up even when hurricanes are raging. We could be inspired by their way of life by being linked to each other like these redwoods, because only then can we withstand the storms of life. And that grounding comes when we do what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, when we submit to one another. I will leave the last word to the apostle. To the Philippians, he wrote the same thing in these terms. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Amen.